שלום, אנחנו לומדים מספר כתבי בעל הסולם, מבוא לספר.
We are reading the text from the writings of Baal HaSulam in English. This is on page 398. As always, you can ask questions on Kabbalah TV. Relevant questions may be aired during the lesson. Again, in English, we're reading from the writings of Baal HaSulam, volume 1, page 398.
We studied this in our evening lessons and also yesterday in the afternoon lesson from 3 to 6. And we have reached item 22, right? So we're continuing. And in according to what we read, you here and there can ask questions. Please. Again, I want to. I was really influenced by that question that came from Moscow. Why am I not relating to the ones who don't come all the time or beginners and so on? So again, I'm giving an answer that I cannot relate to each and every one personally and specifically. There's no such thing here. Is the university the higher place? If you want to succeed, you need to invest completely. You can be in less of an advancement of an advance in somewhat from time to time. That's also not bad in my eyes. I'm happy that everyone is participating as much as he can. Also, Baal HaSulam had students like that. I also saw such with the Rabash. There were people who only came to Shabbat afternoon lesson. Shabbat afternoon, before the Mincha, there used to come all kinds of balabatim. One guy worked for Tnuva, I remember, he used to come. One was an electrician. All kinds of, but they used to come constantly. It was something very special. Each one still, in some way, connected to the study and something. Comes every Saturday to listen to the news. What's going on here? So there's all kinds. Lets us still, at least at times where we can study, we'll give it all of our energy and abilities. So, please.
Item 22. After all that, we have yet to explain all these corporeal appellations explained in the Book of Zohar concerning the ten sefirot, such as up and down, ascent and descent, diminution and expansion, katnut and gadlut, separation and zivug, numbers and so forth, which the lower ones induce through their good or bad deeds in the ten sefirot. These words seem perplexing. Can it be that godliness would be affected and would change in such ways because of the lower ones? You might say that the words do not refer to godliness itself, which clothes and shines in the sefirot, but only to the kelim of the sefirot, which are not godliness, but rather generated with the creation of the souls to conceal or reveal degrees of attainment in the proper ration and measure for the souls to bring them to the desired end of correction. This resembles the mirror allegory with the four panes that are painted in four colors, white, red, green, and black. And there is also the white in the book and the substance of the letters in the book. All this is possible in the three worlds Bia, where the kelim of the Sefirot are renewed and are not godliness. However, it is not at all correct to attribute this to the world of Atzilut, where the kelim of the Ten Sefirot are also complete godliness, one with the godly light within them. It's written in the Tikkunim, He, His life, and His self are one. One, He pertains to the essence of the Sefirot, which is Ensof. Two, His life pertains to the light that shines in the Sefirot, called Light of Chaya. For the whole of the world of Atzilut is considered Chokhmah, and the light of Chokhmah is called Light of Chaya. This is why it is called life. Three, His self pertains to the kelim of the Sefirot. Four, thus everything is complete godliness and unity. How then is it possible to perceive these changes that the lower ones induced there? At the same time, we must understand that if everything is godliness in that world, and nothing of the generated creatures is to be found there, where do we discern the three above discernments in the Tikkunim of the Zohar? He, His life, and His self, since it is utter unity.
He still didn't explain anything. It was just a preparation. Let's read a bit more and see where he's going through.
23. To understand this, you must remember the explained above in item 17. It explains that a necessary object is an essence that we have no perception of, even in the corporeal essences, and even in our own essence, all the more so in the necessary one. The world of Atzilut is a form, and the three worlds, Bia, are matter. The illumination of Atzilut in Bia is form clothed in matter. Hence, you see that the name Ensof is not at all a name for the essence of the necessary one. Since how can we define by a name or a word what we do not attain? Since the imagination and the five senses offer us nothing with respect to the essence, even in corporeality, how can there be a thought or a word in it, much less in the necessary one himself? Instead, we must understand the name Ensof as defined for us in the third boundary, that all the Book of Zohar speaks of pertains precisely to the souls. Thus, the name Ensof is not at all the necessary one himself, but pertains to all the worlds and all the souls being included in him, in the thought of creation. By way of, the end of an act is in the preliminary thought. Thus, Ensof is the name of the connection in which the whole of creation is connected until the end of correction. This is what we name above in the introduction, item 13, the first state of the souls. Since all the souls exist in Him, filled with all the pleasure and the softness and the final height they will actually receive at the end of correction.
I don't see that the audience is burning. Keep going. Well, we'll repeat it.
ואמשול לך משל מהוויות עולם הזה. כף דלת, סליחה.
24. Let me give you an example from the conducts of this world. A person wants to build a nice house. In the first thought, he sees before him an elegant house with all its rooms and details, as it will be when its building is finished. Afterward, he designs all the details of the plan of execution. In due time, he will explain every detail to the workers: the wood, the bricks, the iron, and so on. Then he begins the actual building of the house to its completion, as it was arranged before him in the preliminary thought. Know that Ein Sof pertains to the first thought, in which the whole of creation was already pictured before him in its utter completeness. However, the lesson is not quite like the example, because in him, the future and the present are the same. In him, the thought completes, and he does not need tools of action as do we. Hence, in him, it is actual reality. The world of Atzilut is like the details of the thought-out plan that will later need to manifest when the building of the house actually begins. Know that in these two, the preliminary thought, which is Ein Sof, and the contemplated design of the details of execution in due time, there is still not even a trace of the creatures, since this is still in potential, not an actual fact. It is likewise in humans. Even though they calculate all the details, the wood, the bricks, and the metal that will be required for carrying out the plan, it is essentially a mere conceptual matter. There's not even a trace of any actual wood or bricks in it. The only difference is that in a person, the contemplated design is not regarded as an actual reality. But in the godly thought, it is a far more actual reality than the actual, real creatures. Thus we've explained the meaning of Ein Sof in the world of Atzilut, that all that is said about them is only with respect to the creation of the creatures. However, they are still in potential, and their essence has not been revealed at all. As with our allegory about the person who designed the blueprint, which does not contain any wood or bricks or metal. Yes. You want to say something? No. You are the reader. Okay. Item 25. We are continuing to read and look into the text. The three worlds, Bia and this world, are considered the execution from potential to actual, such as one who builds one's house in practice and brings the wood, bricks, and workers until the house is completed. Hence, the godliness that shines in Bia clothes the ten kelim, kachab chagat nehim, to the extent that the souls should receive in order to reach their completion. These are real kelim with respect to his godliness, meaning they are not godliness, but are generated for the souls.
Elahem mechudashim letzorech haneshamot.
Yet the structure that is about to be erected is already an expression for the Creator. 26. In the above allegory, you find how the three discernments of one who contemplates building a house are interconnected by way of cause and consequence. The root of all of them is the first thought, since no item appears in the planned blueprint except according to the end of the act, which emerged before him in the preliminary thought. Also, one does not execute anything during the building, but only according to the details arranged before him in the blueprint. Thus, concerning the worlds, you see that there is not a tiny generation in the worlds that does not extend from Ein Sof, from the first state of the souls, which are there in their ultimate perfection of the end of correction. As in, the end of an act is in the preliminary thought. It follows that all that will manifest through the end of correction is included there. In the beginning, it extends from Ein Sof to the world of Atzilut, as in the allegory, where the blueprint extends from the first thought. Each and every element extends from the world of Atzilut to the worlds of Bia.
Meaning Olam Ein Sof and Olam Adam Kadmon is the first thought, preliminary thought. Atzilut already elaborates that first thought. It's the worlds of Abia. Similar to,
as in the allegory, where all the details stem from the blueprint when they're actually executed during the building of the house. Thus, there's not a single tiny item that is generated in this world and does not extend from Ein Sof, from the first state of the souls. From Ein Sof, it extends to the world of Atzilut, meaning specifically associated to the thing actually being generated in this world. From the world of Atzilut, the generation extends to the three worlds Bia, where the generation appears in actual fact, where it stops being godliness and becomes a creature, and to Yetzirah and Asiyah, until it extends to the lower one in this world. Understand this thoroughly and compare everything to what is done while building a house for a corporeal person, and then you'll understand well. It follows that there is no generation in the world which does not extend from its general root in Ein Sof and from its specific root in Atzilut. Afterward, it travels through Bia and adopts the form of a creature, and then it is made in this world.
What, Leo? In the allegory of the house in our world, the desired result is a physical house. If you just remain with the plan or the thought, it's not enough. You need a house.
Right.
It's the same thing in the allegory.
We have to reach the end, of course, the completion. What's the question?
Is also the story behind the allegory the desired result?
I have to see the whole Kli complete with all its details interconnected to the point that, according to equivalence of form, the Creator can appear in it in full. That's the final desired form. That the host will sit in his house. If you stay silent, I don't know what to add. Let's read on, Niv.
27. Now you can understand that all these changes described in the world of Atzilut do not pertain to godliness itself, but only to the souls, to the extent that they received from Atzilut through the three worlds Bia, the meaning of actuality of that world is the relation of the blueprint to the preliminary thought, which is Ein Sof. However, both in Ein Sof and in the world of Atzilut, there is still nothing in terms of the souls. Just like there is nothing in the actual wood, bricks, or metal, in the blueprint of the person who designs it. The existence of the souls begins to manifest in the world of Bria. This is why the Kelim of the Ten Sefirot, which actually allot the ration of the souls, and necessarily not the godliness, but are renewed since there cannot be any changes or numbering in godliness. Hence we attribute the three colors, red, green, and black, to the Kelim of the Ten Sefirot in Bia. This is inconceivable that they will be discerned as godliness, since there is no renewal in him whatsoever. However, the light clothed in the ten kelim in Bia is simple godliness and unity unchanged at all. Even the light clothed in the lowest kli in Asiya is complete godliness, without any change at all. This is because the light itself is one, and all the changes made in its illumination are made by the kelim of the Sefirot, which are not godliness. In general, they comprise the three above shades in particular. In particular, numerous changes that were made of these three shades. So imagine how many great coverings there are on the upper light in Asiya, that the upper light is concealed in all those coverings, and there are so many of them that they just close the upper light in each and every detail to some extent that is precise in a way that, let's say, from the upper light, a little illumination of nefesh, the nefesh remains. And beyond all those covers inside, it's Ein Sof everywhere. Meaning we always have the light of Ein Sof, many covers, and the person attaining. Okay? Okay, today, yes, Shai, what do you want? The lower ones is the Adam, Rav, yes. There's nothing else. Shai, so he's trying to explain the system of relationship between divinity and man. Rav, yeah, through the masachim, through the concealment. And everything we read in the book of Zohar is the way man influences the system that is limitless and motionless. The person bestows and makes the changes. Rav, it's more correct to say this. The entire wisdom of Kabbalah is how to connect between man and the Creator, which on behalf of man has to open the senses, the vessels, the perception, and so on. On behalf of the system, we need to build from the shattered system. Man has to build the system of blima that stops the creator, breaks him, puts brakes on him, and a person can gradually attain him. The whole matter is the connection. But when a person builds that system of connection, that system of the stopping, he knows what he has to stop or what he has to develop. By it, he develops himself too. Just as a child playing with some game, so the game develops him. By him building some car or whatever from the parts, so that develops him. That's how we are. But that state is that we need to build a system of connection between us and the Creator. That on one hand is a system of revelation, on the other hand it's a system of stopping. Yes. So you actually said yesterday in the lesson that if there was a drawing, so a person isn't there yet. We talked about it. I'm just asking in relation to what we're reading. So the Zohar tells us about stations on the path of spiritual revelation, that a person is actually performing the action of a spiritual patsuf, but man isn't there yet. It's just like a map, stations on the path. Rav, man isn't man. It's a desire to receive that constantly upgrades its connection with the Creator in a measure of revelation or concealment and equivalence of form. That's man. Meaning every time we're completely new, we have nothing of that remained. And every day, it will be new in your eyes, yes. And the Zohar, the worlds of Abia, Tzilut, it's all stations on the path to revelation. Yes, Rav is the one going through the path, but he's not really the path. Rav, what do you mean he's not? Shai, I'm the car traveling this path. I'm not there.
It's hard to say that because you're included in each and every degree. You have to integrate, you have to cling to it, you have to absorb it, literally swallow it. That degree becomes you.
And every man, there's a divine thought working, every man in our world.
Of course, where do thoughts come from?
When does a person start understanding what his role is in reality?
When he clings to the group. Otherwise, he is not adhered to the thoughts of the Creator and he only has beastly thoughts. Who else wanted? Yeah.
Can you explain about the way Baal HaSulam is trying to take us from the beginning of the article till here?
Okay, yes.
In the beginning, there's an explanation, form and essence and matter and the form clothing in the matter. Then we go to the example of the print and the world of Atzilut and the white in the book, then the worlds of Biyar, the letters and colors. Now we have the allegory of the house. What should I take from all this? It's not just repetition. I guess there's something there.
How, through the influence from above, you're being built. Light comes, awakens desires in you. These desires, through integrating with you, have to take on a certain shape that you wish to build the structure from different pieces, your kli. And by that, having no other choice in building your kli, you begin to also understand the relation of the host to you. What did he mean? You know, a kid doesn't understand when he's told do this and do that, but from doing, he begins to understand what his mother wants from him. And that's how he advances. By your actions, we know you.
If I'm trying to connect it to the focus, what we were speaking in the beginning of the lesson.
Yes.
If I'm trying to implement what I'm studying here, so I have nothing but perceiving the group in my reality compared to perceiving the ideal group, supposedly.
You want to bring the group in your reality to the ideal form of the group.
Yeah, and I'm not allowed to give up on the perception that of my current reality. I have to keep demanding
to pray.
Yeah, to pray for it to change.
Yes.
And not to just be satisfied with...
And also you pray in a way that you want the Creator to show you the desired picture, and that you will feel a difference between the desired and the existing pictures, and that will be your prayer. Technical, simple matters here. There's nothing to it. Yes, Leo.
The souls receive all their corrections in the world of Bia, nowhere else, right? Not above it.
No, there are no souls above every chazeh of Parzuf or world.
In spirituality, the purpose is attaining the plan, the thought, right? What is?
Yeah.
And that's attained in the worlds of Bia, nowhere else, right?
It's attained in the souls that are in the worlds of Bia.
Okay.
Trans.
Shalom Rav.
Hello, Rav. What does it mean that there's no divinity in the Sefirot?
I don't know what he means. Sefirot is lights and desires and screens. When there is a correct merging between the desire and the Tzimtzum and the Masach, then desire and Tzimtzum and Masach altogether becomes a desire to bestow. According to the desire to bestow, the upper light can dress in it through equivalence of form. And then we have light and desire. Kli, what else do you want?
It's in the text.
Yes, what?
If Rav can explain it simply, what?
What are you reading?
He wrote, all the changes in his illumination were made by the vessels in the Sefirot that are not godliness.
Yes. Vessels. Vessels are vessels. It's how the person uses them.
But there's 10 Sefirot. That's not divinity, the 10 Sefirot? Maybe I'm a...
Sefirot, you can say it's godliness, but it's not that the Sefira is godliness. Sefira is a will to receive. And it's the desire. It's not godly, but if you use that desire in order to come to equivalence, etc., then it resembles godliness.
What is color in spirituality?
Let's leave that aside. He just wants to emphasize that there are different manners of bestowal, and in order to differentiate between them, we need to paint them in different colors or sounds or smells. There's 1,000 discernments of that sort, but it's just to differentiate between Chokhmah bin Azara and bin Malchut, no more than that. And the root is always white, always without any distinction. Okay? Okay, next.
28. Yet the kelim of the 10 Sefirot Bia certainly receive from Atzilut every little item in detail of the changes. Since there is a blueprint, since the blueprint of all the details that will unfold in the actual building of the house in Bia. Hence it is considered that the kelim of the ten sefirot, chubtum in Bia, receive from their corresponding feature in chubtum in Atzilut, meaning from the blueprint there. This is so because every detail in the execution stems from every detail in the blueprint. Hence, in this respect, we name the kelim of Atzilut white, although it is not a color at all. Nevertheless, it is the source of all the colors. And like the white in the Book of Wisdom, where although there is no perception in the white in it, and the white in the book is meaningless to us, it is still the carrier of the entire Book of Wisdom, for it shines around and inside each letter, and gives each letter its unique shape, and every combination its unique place. And we might say the opposite. We have no perception of the substance of red, green, or black letters. All that we perceive, and I know of the substance of the letters of the book, is only through the white in it. It is so because through its illumination around and within each letter, it creates shapes in them, and these shapes reveal to us all the wisdom in the book. We can compare it to the ten sefirot of Atzilut. Even though they resemble the white color, it is impossible to discern anything in them, neither a number nor any change or other such appellations. Yet all the changes necessarily come from the ten kelim of the sefirot of Abia and the illumination of the white of the worlds of Bia, which are the three colors of the substance of the letters, although there are no kelim there for itself, as it is all white. It is like the allegory of the white in the book with respect to the letters and their combinations, since its illumination to Bia makes the kelim in them.
Silence. You're not so impressed by this material. All right. If not, then we are moving to Dudi. Where is he? You're always changing your luck, changing your fortune.
Every week the tents change places.
Okay, before I get used to it, you're already running to another place. So we're moving to exile and redemption.
We will go to exile and redemption from the writing of Baal HaSulam. We'll find it in a second.